Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Simon Phipps joins me. We're going to be talking about Open Mainframe Project, which is putting open source software on those old big machines. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Simon Phipps. Episode 466, recorded January 10th, 2018. Open Mainframe Project. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/floss. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stenge.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects. I think today's going to be one of those. The little projects, projects you may be using every day and unaware of it, projects you might want to go play with right after the show. Joining me once again is my lovely and talented co-host, Simon Phipps. Simon, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back, Randall, and a very happy new year to you.
Yes, yes. And for those of you who are watching the video, you can see that I'm once again in my friend's kitchen in Tijuana. So there's a lot of refrigerator magnets over there from his previous girlfriend. And I'm just hanging out here doing my show. So we have on today an interesting project, the Open Mainframe Project. And when I was first started talking about this thing, I said that's probably for the whole three people that use mainframes. And I offended a bunch of people, apparently. They emailed me and said, there's a lot more than three people that use mainframes.
You offended the other four.
Yes, there we go. So we're going to have a couple people on in a few minutes talking. Well, let's talk about what it is. So basically, this is Linux on big metal, right?
Yeah, that's what I understood it to be. It's, I'm interested in some of the rationale for it. I'd understood it as a way to put Linux onto old mainframes whose work payloads have all been moved onto other computers, because there's been a big move to move mainframe workloads onto distributed cloud and Linux servers. And I'm guessing this is a way to bring back all that hardware and let it serve your cloud activities. But I'm sure that we're going to hear from John and Len about what's really going on.
And that is, in fact, who's going to be coming on in a few minutes, John Mertek. He's the director of the Open Mainframe Project. And Len Santa Lucia, I hope I pronounced that right, he's the chairperson of the Open Mainframe Project. But before we do that, I have a very important announcement. Click, 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 because this episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. The mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated, and it needed a client-focused technological revolution. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/floss. That's rocketmortgage.com/FLOSS. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of Floss Weekly. Now let's go ahead and bring our guest, John Mertek. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Randall. It's great to be back.
Yes, right. I should say welcome back to the show, because you were on the Sugar CRM show like back in 2012, wasn't it?
It's been a while. It's been a while, yeah. But cool. Excited to be back and excited to talk about this project.
And where are you speaking to us from?
I'm speaking from the Linux Foundation Ohio number 2 office here in lovely Doylestown, Ohio. Snowy and cold, as it turns out, as well.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, well, cold, literally cold, you're saying. Yes, cool. let's go ahead and also bring on Len Santalucia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. Great to be here.
And where are you speaking to us from?
New York.
Cool. The town's so nice, they named it twice. I've been there many times, yes. And for those watching the video, we have only a still image and audio only for Len, because we had some technical difficulties, which is why this show is actually starting late and will be shorter than the typical show. So let's go ahead and start with John. John, give us a 30,000-foot view. What is this project about, and what is it helping people accomplish?
So the Open Mainframe Project was created to be a focal point for all of the open source development that's happening on the mainframe. Open source really isn't new to mainframe. Linux has been running on mainframe since 1999. You know, there are several distributions that support running Linux. Actually, a fun fact of, you know, 90% of the mainframe customers out there actually run Linux on their mainframes. And these are, you know, production heavily used mainframes for various applications. IBM even sells Linux-only mainframes. That's how popular it is on here. But always the challenge was, is there was lots of efforts of open source happening. And as you can imagine, there's not an overwhelming ton of talent out there that really just understands the architecture, how these machines work, and all of that, and especially with individual open source projects. So this project was created as like, let's pull all this whole community together. And let's collaborate on, you know, how to make sure that open source support is happening effectively, how to make sure that these projects, when they need the resources to support open source, it can help do that. How can we also help educate the market just to let them know, hey, what is actually modern open source? What is a modern mainframe and how are people modernly using it? And then also as a way to help support a lot of the academic programs out there that look to get students engaged on mainframe. So it's probably a little bit more than 40,000 foot, but hopefully that gives you a little bit of a broad base of where we're coming from.
Okay, so my first question is, what is mainframe? I mean, the biggest computer I've physically ever used, except for maybe stuff in the cloud, I don't know how big it is, because it's in the cloud, right? Maybe it's a big cloud, I have no idea, right? The biggest computer I've ever used is a PDP 1170. So Okay. Would that still be not mainframe, or is that sort of the underside of what you're talking about?
So you're saying like how physically big the computer is, or just sort of like capabilities?
Capabilities.
So think of a mainframe as a more modern version of that, but with sort of a similar approach. And Len, maybe this is a great question for you to tackle here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
IBM in 1999 decided to make Linux available across all of its server platforms, mainframe and x86 systems, all at the same time. And the two distributions that became available on the mainframe at that time were Red Hat. And as time went on, Canonical's Ubuntu was made available. And then there were many other, shall I say, unofficial distributions that people ported to the mainframe because of their own requirements, such as Alpine and Fedora and Debian and a few others. So Linux has become quite prevalent on the mainframe. People think of the mainframe a lot of times as the one that used to run MVS or VSE or the traditional mainframe operating systems, ZVM, and things like that. But it's the mainframe runs just about you can think of out there in the way of Linux and associated or non-associated open source software. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, it sounds close. So again, I'm trying to see though, who are the typical users of mainframe computers? Is this because they need lots of computing power or lots of bandwidth, or I mean, what? Who's going to reach for a mainframe instead of just having a rack of you know, x86s?
The mainframe is used by organizations of all types, actually. It's not limited to any particular industry, any particular size, organization. From the very largest organizations in the world to the very smallest, and in every single industry, you can find the mainframe installed. It is very well designed for concurrent workloads that require a lot of I/O, especially when it comes to data. Security is the best on the mainframe. It, today remains the only server that has never been breached on the internet of any from any vendor, and it has the largest capacity for both storage and bandwidth than any other server in the world. But it can start off very, very small. A lot of people think of a mainframe as this multi-million dollar system. It does get that high in size of configuration, but you know, mainframe frames can start off as low 100s of thousands, you know, so and which competes directly with a rack of x86 servers. What people have found is that x86 servers have a tendency to grow like rabbits and uncontrollably at times. And so when Linux became available on the mainframe, virtualization technology, it became a place for people to consolidate a lot of these to help address their power, cooling, floor space, software costs, which usually were charged by the core. And the cores on the mainframe are so much more powerful than the cores on 86 that you could, you know, absorb many, many. There's been people that have actually found a ratio of consolidating is 40 cores of x86 to one core on the mainframe. That's not always the case, but it has gotten as high as that. So if you are paying by the core, now you go from 30 cores of a software for a particular vendor, from any vendor that charges by the core, now you're down to one. This is what's really made it so attractive and desirable by businesses today. Did I answer your question?
So Len, tell me, my expectation has been that Linux on the mainframe is about absorbing unused capacity after workloads have migrated to other Unix or to Linux. Is anyone actually buying mainframes to run Linux, or is it just people using old ones to use up surplus capacity?
Oh no, it's all over the map. There are people who have existing mainframes that add Linux capacity to the mainframe that they have. There are people who are buying mainframes to run Linux only, and many times they even add ZOS DB2 database to that existing only system. Because they prefer the capabilities and qualities of service and security of those levels of databases. But, you know, you can find things like Postgres, MongoDB, MariaDB, Chandra, Scylla, all these different names that you never would have ever associated with the mainframe. There's even work in progress going on for Microsoft is evaluating bringing the server that they made available on Linux on x86 last year to bringing that to Linux on the mainframe because of the qualities of service the mainframe brings to Linux. Like
right.
Seeing what I liked about seeing Linux on the mainframe, I was one of the founders at IBM at the time. I was at IBM for a little over 30 years, and I retired from IBM in 2008, and that's when I came to work for the company I work for today, Viacom Infinity, which is an IBM premier business partner out of New York City. And then we were approached to become members of the Open Mainframe Project. And then I became the chairperson for this because of the background I had and familiarity with Linux on a mainframe.
Okay, so if I could ask John some questions about the project. So I've been having a look at the website, John, and honestly, if I'm brutally honest with you, I can't see a lot of there. There's no code to download. There's no mailing lists to join. There's a Slack channel that I can try to ask. How active is this project, or is it just a marketing front for IBM mainframes?
So it's a very active project in the sense that we have participation across the major vendors in the Linux space and the mainframe space. So we have, you know, people from the IBMs of the world who obviously, are leading a lot of the mainframe. You know, they sell mainframes. We have business partners. We have Linux distributions. And we also have end user organizations that are depending upon Linux on mainframe. So there's a pretty wide variety. Now, this project, you know, when you think of a lot of projects, the natural thing you look at is, you know, are they owning code? Where this project's a little bit different is it looks to take a survey view of sort of the open source world here and related to S390 and say, what are the areas that need help? What are the areas that need support? And then we, as a project, help put our efforts towards there. So I'll give you an example. Docker, which is a very, you know, popular containerization tool there. The project over the last 2 years has committed time. It's committed help connect students and interns, to that to help build up Docker Hub content, help build some of the internals there that are needed to help support this platform. Len mentioned Alpine Linux. That was a project that we helped support through one of our interns, and now that intern has gone on to actually become a maintainer of the S390 port. So I guess to sort of answer your question there, it's an active project with a lot of different participants. One of the things that we're really working on doing is trying to hub a lot of the communities together. And I mean, you've been in community organizing for a long time, Simon. You know these things. They're certainly not overnight ventures, but we're making a lot of great progress in getting a lot of these sort of activities help pulled together. It's actually sort of a fun fact. The mainframe world is actually, you could argue they were doing open source before open source even happened, before open source was even a term, before open source was even thought of. Do either of you know of a group called Share?
I am very aware of Share. I would actually say that the mainframe was the trigger for the creation of the proprietary software movement when IBM was faced with an antitrust action that forced it to unbundle software from hardware. So I think that it was actually mainframes and the business around them that broke the software market and forced the creation of proprietary software. But you might not like that view.
Well, I mean, I look at it from Share from this. You know, the concept of there are people that are using this hardware that have software that they're looking to do to make their jobs easier, right? Make their life easier, make them able to be more successful at what they do. That's something that goes back into the 50s when Share was created, and that same movement still exists today, and that same collaboration still exists today. So, you could argue the point around the IBM, you know, business models in there. And I think that's probably a little bit out of the scope of this conversation here. But, you know, the concept of this group being very community focused really lends itself well to a project like this and really lends itself well to engaging with open source. And I think that's a really big hallmark that we try to capitalize on. But what we also try not to do is recognize is, you know, that we try to be stewards of helping move mainframe computing forward based on Linux and open source. And, you know, that's really where this project, you know, puts a lot of its focus. It doesn't look to go out there and own things. It looks to go out there and to make sure that, hey, these organizations around the world that are leveraging open source quite a bit and want to use it on their mainframes, they can do that. And they have a project they can go to that can help them connect to the right people, help make a lot of those engagements possible. So, that's sort of the philosophy of where we come from. I guess you could say a great thing for this project is one day that doesn't have to be a project, because mainframe computing, and that is always considered a top tier architecture for anybody who's building open source software.
So we're almost out of time, sadly, because we got started a little late, which is going to be listening at home and trying to figure out why we're stopping after only like a half hour. But from a technical point of view, how difficult is it to port something from, say, the x86 architecture to the mainframe architectures? I mean, there's like different bit lengths, different address spaces. Is it all easily portable now, or is there still a lot of concern when you're porting things?
If you're going at the very low level, you know, you do have sort of big Edian, little Edian issues that you have to deal with. But if you look at it, I guess, from an app developer standpoint, Linux is Linux is Linux. And if you're writing code that's, you know, going to be targeting runtimes that sit on top of it, you know, such as, you know, Java or Python or Swift or something like that, the code transports, you know, easily, you know, across. And a matter of fact, I would encourage any listeners, if you have code that you've, you know, built in any really popular language, you want to try it. There's a great resource, the Linux One Community Cloud, where you can spin up a mainframe instance, try your code out on it and see, you know, how easy it is to do. I mean, that's often kind of a big misconception is, oh, this mainframe on Linux is an entirely different thing. It won't work the same. That's actually not true. And a lot of those barriers are coming down that, you know, large organizations are just, you know, managing, you know, their applications so they can quickly and easily deploy, you know, back and forth, but take advantage of the great features that mainframe has, such as high transactional, you know, the high speed transactional support, such as really improved security, and, you know, high failover and things like that. So if you're doing something very mission critical, you can do it. And as a matter of fact, mainframe stuff touches all of us. You know, for example, you guys were both talking in the pre-show about, you know, flying on planes. That's thanks to a mainframe. You know, if you guys have bank accounts, that's the way you're able to interact with them is thanks to a mainframe. For the listeners here on the show, if you get paid, chances are good it's because of a mainframe. So it's you're seeing more and more actually modern applications being developed on it because you can easily move things over, but you can take advantage of that hardware very, very easily.
So I haven't clicked on the link yet, but it says start your trial now on that page for IBM Linux One Community Cloud. Is that a limited time freebie, or is it per project a little free for trial, or what?
It's a 120-day instance, and you could just keep re-signing up and getting more of them. So it's not like it's like a once per lifetime or anything like that. But it's an easy way just to try it out. You know, you can start up like an Ubuntu instance, a SUSE, Red Hat, different sorts of instances. There's some that are also pre-configured for different workloads like blockchain, which is a really popular application, as you can imagine, with the security strengths of a mainframe. That's a popular application we're seeing on there. That's a free thing that anybody can sign up for. Try it. If you have your own code, you can go try it. If you have an open source project, you can try it and see how it works.
And if I were to get hosted instances of mainframes, would they be similar to these for my commercial product?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically the same as, you know, if you were to, you know, get an instance on a mainframe either that you'd purchase or that you use from somebody else. Yeah, it would be the same sort of interface and everything.
Okay. And the project's ongoing. Is there, we'll put all the contact information in the show notes, but is there any kind of person that you're looking for, any kind of class of people you're looking for to participate in these projects that you're still short of?
Well, sure. Well, I mean, definitely, you know, for the legions of mainframers that are flocking to this show, you know, come check us out. Come check us out. And we'd be really interested in just, you know, having come participate, you know, see what we have going on and whatnot. I'd also call sort of open source projects. So we just did a blog post the other day, a great new, you know, if you're an open source project and you have an application that you think Fortune 500 companies would love to use, large companies, small companies, like Len said, but you've kind of thought about supporting mainframe, but you don't really know how, we as a project can help. We can help get you a mainframe instance. We can help get you technical resources. We can actually even, you know, help organize like hackathons or internships and things like that. And then I would say that's also the third thing is, if you're a student and you'd love to see an interesting career option, you know, we've ran an internship program for the last 2 years. We've had some fantastic students that have came through it, and they come out of there working with top tier architects from leading companies like SUSE, CA, IBM, and ADP, for example, and they come out with great jobs. And these are very high in demand jobs because, as you probably know, there's a little bit of a generational gap in the mainframe world right now. But it's also kind of a growing industry because there's more and more mainframes actually being deployed out there. So anyways, we have an internship program coming on. You get to hack all summer on open source and mainframe, work with leading people, and go to actually a tech conference at the end. And you can apply for that on our website as well.
And can these run COBOL?
Mainframes can run COBOL. Mainframes okay. can run Fortran. although, to be honest, like most of the new workloads, I mean, there's a lot of just new Java. I mean, Swift is actually a really popular workload we're starting to see on mainframe. We're starting to see a lot more Swift development happening.
Awesome. Hey, we're really out of time because we're up against some hard deadlines on the network. But John and Len, I want to thank you both for coming on and talking about the Open Mainframe Project. Maybe you can come back again when we have a bit more time.
That sounds like a great idea. I'd appreciate it.
Awesome. That was John Mertek and Len Santa Lucia. Hope they'll get that close. I normally stop here and recap the show, but we're really out of time. And I have about 10 people in the queue already for upcoming shows. We're booked solid all the way out to March. And we just added, I'm really excited about this project, Gitcoin, which is a way of creating bounties on your GitHub pull requests and projects. So you can say, I'll pay, you know, 0.001 Bitcoin if somebody solves this particular bug. So it's going to be really fun to have those guys on. So again, the big spreadsheet at twit.tv/floss. It's also the homepage for this show. I won't give you all the usual plugs here, but I'll be here in Tijuana next week. But then I'm on a cruise ship for 2 weeks. But don't worry, we have people in place. We have top men in place, to be able to keep the show going even while I'm on my cruise ship. Anything brief you want to plug there, Simon?
I'm going to FOSDEM. That's the great big open source developer conference for Europe. It's in Brussels, the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of February. Because it's the Open Source Initiative's 20th birthday, I'm giving the opening keynote on the morning of Saturday the 3rd, and I would love to see you there. So do please come along and come up to me afterwards and tell me that you heard the invite on Floss Weekly, because awesome. It's always great to meet listeners.
Well, Simon, thanks once again for joining in and providing your much bigger mainframe knowledge than I ever would have had. I still miss your beats, but thank you for coming on, Simon, and we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.